Hour number two, Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Jones is off. Billy Lanny has slid over. In this hour, we are joined by the one and only Rob Bradford. Bradford is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com.
McFarland.
There it is.
I got it in like 1:30 in the morning last night.
Oh, my God. Well, you were in Atlanta. You were at the All-Star festivities.
I don't know if you know this. I was in Atlanta at the All-Star game. I don't know if you know this. I got in 1:30 in the morning.
Nice.
And I have a very, very complicated relationship. Well, this is my takeaway from the All-Star game.
Yeah, let's hear it.
With Uber drivers or Lyft drivers. Boy.
What's your Uber rating?
Oh, I have a good. I'm paranoid about that.
Yeah, mine's
not the best. Are you guys paranoid about this?
I was paranoid. Mine. I took a tank one time because I took an Uber home from a beer fest once. And
cleanup charges.
Yeah, no, I didn't throw up, but I think the guy thought that I would.
Yeah.
And so he was like looking at me in the back. I'm like, can I put the window down? The guy's like, oh,
please do.
So I think that tanked it. But other than that, I'm pretty nice.
I don't put it on don't talk to me mode because I feel like right out of the gate,
right.
That's like leading to.
Who is this guy?
Who's this guy? I'm going to give him a bad rating. So I'm like, oh, no. But then you actually have to talk to him,
right.
And you have all kinds of stories. So I have a very conflicted relationship because I don't really want to talk to anybody, but then some of the stories are really like, what? Like, I had one guy who was trying out for the USFL as a receiver.
Nice.
But he just smoked too much of that weed, you know?
Well,
like
gets all of us.
He's like, back in the day. He could have been the next great Birmingham Stallions wideout.
Normally, you guys are like, oh, it would have been me, but I had, like, the knee injury. This guy's like, it would have been me, but, you know, weed.
I just love pot too much.
Because no guys in the NFL are currently smoking weed.
No, he was honest. And then anytime you have a guy who has self-published his own science fiction novel, you know,
Do you have a copy in the back seat?
I don't think it's like a hard copy. Yeah,
it's all up here.
But you know that's a wild ride.
Did you tell him you were a writer?
Unfortunately,
okay,
it's just too right, Billy. It's just too right. It's just chopping it up.
I get it, right?
Then I had about another nice woman who was 35 or so, I said, well, I do like, and she's like, oh, what do you do? You know, that's the thing. What do you do? Well, I'm just driving. Well, here's my go to. What's your dream job?
Ask people what their dream job is?
I do, yeah. I like to ask that.
Huh. Yeah. What was the answer?
It's like your dream job right now, right?
Well, a guy told me yesterday I'll never get my dream job.
True.
I was like, joke's on you. This is it. Right. I'm living it. So it's too bad.
Better than this.
Too bad, pal. This is what it is. But you were in Atlanta. We played the Joe. What do you got? Headphone problems over here?
I'm good.
Jones is always complaining about that too. Maybe somebody should look at that.
Yeah, well,
somebody should come in.
Griff.
But I said, what's your dream job?
Yeah, yeah. What'd she say?
She's like, I don't know. I've never thought about it. Like, how when you get to like
35?
Yeah.
Well, listen.
I mean,
some of us are late bloomers.
Well, but the thing is, though, I bet a lot of that, you know, that ends after 12 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I grew up, my dream job was to play professional baseball.
Yeah.
I got to high school, I'm like, ooh, I am not that good. So that dream was killed right then and there. So then I'm like, all right, what am I shooting for now?
Yeah.
Okay, but can you shoot real low?
And then you can
give you something. Yeah. Make up something.
President of the United States? I don't know.
She's like, make it through the day.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Start somewhere.
So
good trip overall, it sounds like.
It was a good trip. It was a good. I will say this. I heard you guys talk about the All-Star game, about the ratings. And I think what it was, and you said you talk about staying up late. And I think really what this was an example of, which was if you sat and watched the game, you're like, But basically, if you woke up the next day and looked at the clips of the Hank Aaron thing, of the hit-off or whatever it was,
yep.
You were like, that's awesome. And that's how most people are consuming this anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's our world now.
Yeah, there's cool moments in the game. I mean, I think, Skeen Scoobal is a great way to start the game. You know, you have those guys. Shohei Ohtani's in the game. So, like, it was good. I think it was good for baseball.
You take away the home run derby at the end or swing off, whatever you want to call it, and I can't think of anything from the game that, like, that would have stood out.
No.
You know what I mean?
And honestly, I love talking to all these guys, but you walked into that American League clubhouse and like, we're the stars.
Yeah.
Although,
so Jones and I, we did this the other week where we were like looking at this year's lineups, and then we were like, oh man, it used to be a lot better. And then we started pulling up random old lineups.
The Scott Cooper lineup?
Yeah, like Jermaine Dye and like Travis Fryman and some of these guys like starting in the All-Star game, and you're like, oh.
But you forget, right. Those guys were like, they were decent players. They were known
players.
Well,
they're all starting all-stars. They should be decent. But I'm saying, but 10 years from now, don't you think we'll look back and be like, yeah, Riley Green was really good?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, take that, Riley Green. Right. No, take that, Terp.
I mean, there's send that to Riley Green.
You know, one of the things I love is I do love like how much these guys want to be there. We talked about Shane Smith, Danvers' own.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Who
you had a good one-on-one with him about North Shore
the greatest
beefs.
Debate of the All-Star game, which is what's the best North Shore beef?
Yeah.
But, you know, he's just so happy to be there. These guys, these
and then
first
he drilled time, Suarez.
Right. Well, again, so happy
maybe
to be
too
there.
Happy to be there.
He ran it in.
Overexcited.
Yeah. So, but it's Chris Bubich of Kansas City, Zach McKinstry of like all these guys are just so happy to be there, which is a great thing. But I don't know if it leads to like, oh my goodness, what an All-Star game. But I will say this: the home run derby, I loved. And it was because of
that. Are you talking about the swing off or like
no,
the derby?
No. The derby.
Oh, the night before. Right.
Yeah, I like the swing off. Great. Yeah. But the home run derby was because you had these guys who you don't necessarily get to see a ton, and you just hear about how like physically awesome they are. Junior Caminero and O'Neill Cruz and these guys, and you're like, holy mackerel. James Wood, like, oh my, I don't realize a guy could hit the ball that far. And so I go out to left field. Because I want to mingle with a riffraff.
Sure.
And so
how about that kid almost robbed one?
Well,
kid in left field. Yeah, well, they said he did.
Can we effort him to get on the show? Let's go.
He's a good player.
It's, you know, so I see one guy catch the ball, and everyone's like, yeah, what a catch. Then a little while later, Byron Buxton hits one, and it's literally the next guy over. The guy goes to catch it, and it hits him in the eye. And his eye looked like Rocky in the commercial in Rocky 2.
It exploded?
It exploded. Yeah. So
fun day at the home run derby?
And then talking about my instincts not being correct, when I go down to interview Byron Buxton, he's like, that was the best experience of my life and everything else. I'm like, oh, yeah, do you realize you hit a guy in the eye?
You can't think of that as a hitter.
What did he say?
He didn't really
shouldn't have been standing.
There's nowhere to go for that. It wasn't your fault. It wasn't your fault.
Williams him off the ledge.
Thank you, Billy. Exactly. So anyway, it was good.
Joe Ryan obviously has been the number one conversation, not just from you. You sort of started it, but Alex Bregman, Garrett Crochet, also kind of recruiting him a little bit as well.
So what was your take? So I talked to Joe Ryan, and he does like how cool it would be to be traded by one.
He's like so exciting. I'm so excited. I do like Minnesota. Yeah.
So, but then the photo that Bregman posts of him, Crochet, and Joe Ryan, and then Joe Ryan doing the glass. I think it was like the eyeballs emoji. Maybe I don't know. Is that what he was doing?
He was doing something.
Yeah,
it was very flirtatious.
It was very And by the way, like tight with Lucas Giolito.
Okay.
We'll put it this way. It is not gone throughout the Red Sox clubhouse. It's like this is a guy they want. They like Joe Ryan. They like themselves from Joe Ryan.
Will Minnesota trade Joe Ryan?
Nah, I don't think so. And I know that another report came out. Because
thanks for coming in, Ron.
Yeah, right. We got 50 more minutes with you.
Absolutely.
Took the wind out of the sail real quick.
Are they going to trade him to the Red Sox?
Well, no. Let me just start with first. Will they trade him? Like, is he up for grabs? Because if he is, the Red Sox better be in the front of the line, and they have plenty to offer to get him.
Yeah, but
they're four games out of a wild card spot with teams in front of them. So if you're saying, is Minnesota a seller? They should be. I mean, I know they have 2 weeks until the deadline. They should be a seller. He's very good, and like you're not just going to give him away for nothing. But are they willing to, in what, 2 years, give him $200 million?
Okay, so this go back to – it lines up with Crochet last year. Same sort of deal, right? So you go back to last trade deadline. The Red Sox tried to get Crochet. A lot of teams tried to get Crochet. The asking price was like, yeah, give us Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony and some other people. I mean, this is the way of the world when it comes to these sort of pitchers at the trade deadline. Brendan Gomes of the Dodgers – get ready for the sick brag drop again.
Yeah.
He was on the podcast – and he told me, he's like, in the offseason, that our goal, because they had this shock and awe offseason, it's like, our goal is to get to the trade deadline where we don't need anything because it's 3X for what you're going to have to pay normally. Mm. And when you talk about a guy like Joe Ryan, that's what we're dealing with. We look at the Garrett Crochet deal, and how much they gave up. Well, if they traded for Garrett Crochet at the deadline a few months earlier, it would have been more than that, and that's what you're talking about. So, sorry, man. Sad trombone, but
that
you know,
is disappointing.
Yeah.
Do the Red Sox have the best package to give for Joe Ryan?
No, I mean, I think the Red Sox, you know, they got rid of a lot of guys. I mean, it's not, and they're not, they got rid of a lot of guys. Really, they're not going to trade Meyer. They're not going to trade Anthony. Christian Campbell now has this contract with him. You know, the password is fine. He's an okay player. They have some decent minor leaguers, but I think that what you have to do is start introducing guys on the major league roster, which I don't know if they're going to do. The Jaron Durans, the Rafaelas, like these sort of guys. What's interesting is if you look at Arizona, let's start playing the name game.
Yes.
Arizona, guy Zach Gallen. Right? Right? Zach Gallen, contract year, not having a great year, but
take him.
Boy, I'll take like what he did in the postseason. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the type of guy you want out there. The Arizona Diamondbacks are looking for young pitching because they have these guys coming up. So there you go. You have some young pitching. You know, you have the Richard Fitz of the world. If you want to jump ship on Tanner Houck, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have some pieces there to get a rental, which is probably going to be the way they go.
If it's not Joe Ryan, who do you think the best starting pitcher that will be traded? Because we're going over a long list. There's a handful of guys that are, you know, were at the All-Star game. Their names have at least been kind of mentioned. But again, if you have to give up way more now, maybe these guys end up getting stuck with their teams. But at some point, some of these sellers are going to say, we got to do what's best for our team, and we're not going to just hold out. Like, let's get something now while we can.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. You look at the starters that are traded at the deadline. And Breslow said this to me the other day. This is undeniably the hardest thing to get at the deadline. What they are looking for is undeniably the hardest thing to get at the deadline because every team is overvaluing. You're taking a risk, and this is why you hear like guys like Charlie Morton's name come up. And everyone, if they got Charlie Morton, everyone would be like, oh, really? That's it? Well, you know, brace yourself because that's what you might be dealing with because you just can't – coming back to the Joe Ryan thing, and I don't really know. I mean, maybe some of the Marlins pitchers, but, you know, Cabrera is going to cost too much and the other guy isn't really producing this year. Like, it's going to be a rental, and people aren't going to be probably happy with what they got. So, sorry. Like, that's what the deadline is. Unless they say, hey, everybody, we pushed the chips to the middle of the table. We traded Devers. We did all this stuff in the offseason. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. But that's not really.
But, like, so Breslow's talked about, you know, adding an impact player, right? Impact player. Because last year they added five players. None of them were impactful.
No. And all of them were traded with guys who were not going to be protected. Anyway,
so how willing do you think he will be to overpay? Or are they going to say, hey, we're doing well right now, and the team's hot as a pistol, but we don't want to sacrifice the future?
I'll come back to it. Not only with the Red Sox at the trade deadline, I remember talking to Mike Kazin when they had the World Series run, and they fell, and he's sitting there in the postseason, and he, of course, is the Arizona Diamondbacks president baseball operations, and he's sitting there in the postseason. And he's like saying, boy, I didn't get the arm. I didn't get the arm. We fell short. And they're in the middle of it. He's kicking himself because I wasn't able to do it. But he said at the same time, it was impossible to do. The asking prices were impossible. And that was the same message that you got last year, especially with guys under control. So it's not what people want to hear. But we have to look at the history of the last couple of years about when you go after these guys, what it's going to cost. And if you want to do the shock and awe, and I don't even know what the shock and awe is anymore. The shock and awe is putting Meyer in a deal. I think they're not going to put
Anthony. That'd be shocking.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think either one of those guys is getting traded. Christian Campbell, we've had callers bring up and people. I wouldn't do it, probably. I mean, not that he's untradeable, but I just think he was rookie of the month, and then clearly kind of fell apart.
You're selling low on him.
You are really selling low, and you do have him on that what I think could be a team-friendly deal. He does strike me as the kind of player that you could trade, then 2 years you're like, oh, yeah, why'd you trade him? Like, he's killing
it
somewhere else.
Yeah, but you say a team-friendly deal, but is it?
Well, if he's good.
Yeah, if he's good, but what if he's not? Well, I mean, if it's not, then and that's what I think teams look at is like, yeah, you had that good first month. Yeah.
Do they regret that deal at all?
No, I don't think so because you look not yet. Yeah. You can't say that yet because it's the same thing we have the conversation when they signed the extensions with Bayo and Rafaela. everyone was like, why did you do this?
No, and, I was one of those guys. I did. Yeah, I was like, what are you doing these guys?
That was quick.
Now they're good. Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, you're geniuses. So good for you. But so I think it's just way too early. But I think if you're going to trade Campbell, teams, it's too risky for a team to say this is the centerpiece of the trade where you had a guy who had 1 year professional excellence, 1 year of professional experience, and then he's good for a month, and then he's really bad, and now he's in AAA just doing okay. Mm-hmm. Not to say he's going to be bad, but that's a pretty big risk. Mm-hmm. So, but I think that, you know, I do think that they are more motivated this trade deadline than we have seen in years. That is the one thing that I can say. Like, people say, oh, buyers or sell it. No. Well, when you trade Rafael Devers, when you did, like, you better be buyers.
For sure. But then you also can't be 2 weeks from now, add nothing, and be like, wow, the asking prices were high.
No.
Like, I don't think anybody's going to be like, Danny, oh, they were,
The Danny Ainge method. Yeah, we were in on everybody.
We
got nobody.
Not good enough, not this year.
Right. I mean, but you look at a guy like their last sort of trade deadline where they like, oh, my goodness, they look at what they did. Kyle Schwarber, right?
Yeah, 21. This is the only time they had a winning record in the second half.
But remember about Kyle Schwarber.
He was hurt.
Like, they got him on a bargain basement. And
they're going to make him a first baseman. And they want to
right. You know, well, I mean, that's like, the other thing, Billy. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, we'll teach him first.
He was willing to do it.
We'll teach him first. It's like, oh, about that. How we forget that like he hadn't even played first. Oh, we'll just take
him a first baseman.
And then, like, I don't know if you have the clip, like, me talking to Chris Sale, but Chris Sale was talking about 2018 when they pushed he's like, they put the rings on the table. And they put, when I came to Boston, they put the rings on the table. And they said, hey, listen, we want to win more of these, but it's up to you. And if you do your job, then we'll add. And sure enough, in 2018, you have Steve Pearce early on and Nathan Eovaldi early on. But even then, Nathan, they needed another start, and you got Nathan Eovaldi.
Yeah,
like
right.
Nathan Eovaldi,
who's killing it
this year, by the way.
As much
as everyone is screaming and yelling about Joe Ryan, let's remember, even Dave Dombrowski couldn't get that guy.
Right.
So that's the dangerous part.
We had that Dombrowski cut we used to always play where they were asking him about the deadline, how we didn't do anything. He goes, well, we did add Cashner. Remember they got Andrew Cashner? We're like, what? Andrew Cashner.
But
if they had a similar conversation this year, not saying that they did with like the rings and everything.
Yeah, like,
Cashner already, so it's not like we haven't done something to help our ball club.
It's not like we haven't done something.
We got Cashner. Lay off. No, but like if you were doing the same thing this year, it's the same kind of conversation, you say, hey, like, you guys got to prove it for us to be buyers. Like, I don't know, winning 10 straight games would be the answer.
Rich, the day after they traded Devers in Seattle, you know, when everyone's like, you know, it's just one of 26 and all
that's
that
amazing
stuff,
yeah,
right? I heard the trade deadline mentioned at least 5 times from players. Like, we have to, like, prove to them that, I mean, and think about that. That was mid-June. They all knew what was at stake, and that's what I mean. They were all motivated to, this was going to be the first checkpoint in terms of, was this a good move? Was, are you going to buy at the trade deadline? Are you worthy of buying at the trade deadline? And right now, and I know you can compare it to last year, and they were 10 games up at the break, whatever it was, but it feels like there is no room for interpretation here. There is zero room for interpretation.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So, but I will say this. We mentioned Schwarber. You know who this year's Kyle Schwarber could be?
Marcell Ozuna?
Kyle Schwarber.
Kyle Schwarber. Oh, that would be good.
Right?
I'm all about that was a huge miss. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Chris Sale.
Don't want him.
Okay, I'm just telling you.
No. I'm just telling you. That's just my reaction. I don't want Chris.
I mean, he threw for the first time yesterday.
Thank God.
He might be ready at the end of August. But he has an option.
I'd rather Nathan Eovaldi. If we're going to do the let's grab an old Red Sox, I'd rather Eovaldi than Sale.
You know, they thought that Nathan Eovaldi was that night that before he signed with Texas, they thought they had him.
Really?
They thought they had Eovaldi coming into this year.
That would have been good.
Well, and, you know, okay, he's up. He's, you know, he's on a 3-year deal. You have a couple. You have that spot.
Yeah.
Like, Bueller will be leaving. You have that spot.
Yeah, that's good. All right, you can wait. If you want to jump in here with a baseball question for Bradford, you can. 617-779-7937. Bradford's in until high noon today. A lot going on. Trade deadline 2 weeks away. What's going to go on with Jaren Duran? We can ask Bradford about Durant status. But right now, here is Billy Laney with what's trending.
The Christian Arcan Show. Weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. The Red Sox return to action tomorrow afternoon to begin a 6-game road trip with a 3-game series against the Cubs in Chicago. Lucas Giolito will get the start for the Sox against the Cubs' Colin Ray. First pitch tomorrow afternoon is at 2:20. Celtics Summer League schedule continues tonight. The Seas will be taking on the Lakers. Tip-off from Las Vegas is at 8 o'clock, and this game can be seen on ESPN. The Bruins' regular season schedule was released last night. The Bees will open the season on the road against the Capitals on October 8th, with their home opener the next night against the Blackhawks. Brad Marchand and the Panthers will visit the TD Garden on October 21st, and on February 1st, the Bees will play the Lightning in an outdoor game at Raymond James Stadium as part of the NHL's Stadium Series. And last night, the Revolution fell 5-3 to the Red Bulls in New York. Up next for the Revs, they host Orlando City SC on Saturday night. Lobster Lovers Weekend is back. Visit the 99 Restaurants this Friday through Sunday and order their famous Colossal or Hut Buttered Lobster Roll, and you'll get a free 3-course meal upgrade. This weekend only, you gotta love the Nines. I'm Billy Laney. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.